I know, I not only believe, but I know that in God's heart, there's a special room for kids. There's a special kind of relationship between God and children. And today is a special day. Today is a special day for this wonderful family. Robbie, Crystal, and little Bobby. Of course, their parents. And of course, for all of us. Today is a special day because today they want to dedicate this little beautiful child, little Bobby, to God. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. When parents decide to dedicate their children to God. And just so you won't have any doubts, I know you don't, but that God values little children. Let me just read a few Bible verses from Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 13. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them. That's what Jesus did. And we believe that he is here today. And we would see him do the same thing. We have no doubt about that. So at this point, I'd like to invite Robbie and Crystal and little Bobby. And if everything works fine, I'd like to hold this little beautiful child. Hey, hi buddy. Well, I also would like to invite all the relatives here. Mom and Dad and all the relatives. Please come up here. Well, let me hold you just a bit differently. Okay. I've forgotten when I was holding a child this small. So calm. Well, it's not just the parents. It's all the relatives. It's all of us who stand behind this marvelous act. When someone wants to say to God, "Lord, this is your child. We want you to be in charge of his life." I would have invited all of you here. It's just that we don't have enough room. Because we all support such actions. And so now, we would simply ask Jesus to bless little Bobby. And for that, I would like to have you stand. I invite you to stand for this prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know that you love little kids. And we know you have a special place in your heart for little Bobby. Lord, this is your gift to his parents, Robbie and Crystal, to his grandparents, to all his big family. Lord, you love him so much. And today, when the parents decided to bring him into your presence and commit him to you, to dedicate him to you, and have your blessings on his life, Lord, we know that you are rejoicing about it. And Lord, we pray right now, today, that you will bless, first of all, the parents. I pray about Crystal, that you will give her patience, that you will give her physical health, that you will give her emotional health, that you will just bless her as mom to take care of little Bobby. Lord, I pray for Robbie as a dad and as head of this family, that you will give him wisdom to raise his child to glorify you. And Lord, most importantly right now, I pray for this beautiful little child, Bobby. He's so precious. He's an amazing little child. And he's your child. And Lord, at this moment, we dedicate him to you. And we pray that your guidance, your protection, and your presence will be in his life. Every single step of his life. We pray that you'll give him physical and spiritual blessings. Lord, thank you so much for the promise that we have. We pray that you'll bless also all the family members, that you'll give them wisdom and patience and love toward this little Bobby. Lord, give all of us this love and help us to be a support for this family. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We thank you in Jesus' name. Well, he was not good. He was perfect. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Crystal, congratulations. There was another day, probably just like this one, about 2012 years ago. There was a baby dedication day at the temple. There were many people present there, and probably there was a lot of noise. And for some who were there, it was a normal, common thing to see a family just like that, bringing their little ones to dedicate to the Lord. Yet, it was a very special day for that family. But if we would look a little beyond that, we would say that it was a very special day for every human being who ever lived on this earth. Well, let's look a little closer to see why we are saying that. What do we see there? Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start reading from verses 22 and on. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 and on. Now when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is set in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Let's just pause right here. Let's imagine that scene, that beautiful scene that we've just read about. Who do we see present there? And you can imagine Robbie and Crystal here. So we see Joseph and Mary. We see a 40-day-old little baby Jesus in their hands. We see the priest. And also we see two other people there, elderly people. One is Simeon, and this lady's name was Anna. So those people were there. And for all of them, probably except the priest, it was a special day. Because for the priest, it was a routine. He did that every day, probably. Some people would bring kids to him, and he would raise them up, and he would bless them and give them back to the parents. It was a routine. But for these people, the parents, Simeon and Anna, it was a special day. Well, let's look at them individually. Let's talk about this Simeon. What do we know about this man? Well, in verse 25, we read that he was a just and devout person who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What was he waiting for? He was living his life waiting for something to happen. Do you know people like that who are always waiting and waiting and waiting for something important to happen? Those are disciplined people. Those are persistent people. Those are people who cannot be satisfied with something less than was promised to them. They are eagerly waiting for something. So what was he waiting for? We read here consolation. What is consolation? It can be said that this is the promised one who would bring comfort and pardon to Israel. So he was waiting for that promised one all his life. Just imagine, years went by. His life was about over. And he still was waiting for that promised one. And why did he wait for this promised one? Well, he was a just and devout man. And for sure, he knew the Old Testament scriptures. Let's do it together. Let's just open a few of those. What must have been in his mind when he was waiting for that promised one? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2 says, "Comfort my people, says the Lord, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." That was the promise that he had in his mind. He had no idea exactly how it's going to happen. He had this promise, and he stood on that promise. Well, another scripture that he must have read was Isaiah chapter 61, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." They had enough mourning. They had enough sadness. And this man, he had been waiting faithfully for that comfort to come. Well, what do we know about him? Verse 26 says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. So there was a special connection between him and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And he was given a prophecy also that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. I mean, that was special. Can you imagine that God would give you a prophecy that you're not going to die and you will see Jesus coming the second time? And you would look around and all kinds of different events are taking place around you. And it looks like nothing is happening. It looks like everything is the same. Everything is evil and sad. Yet you have that promise. How special that was for Simeon to have that promise that he's not going to die until he will see. And I imagine in my mind, son would said, he probably would think about that promise and he would think, you know, what kind of Messiah? How is going to look? How am I going to see him? Yet he had waited and waited and waited. So there was something special. There was a promise there. And another interesting aspect there, if you notice, there are three times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in this little passage. So there was a special connection between this Simeon and the Holy Spirit. And in verse 27 we read, "Simeon came to the temple because of the Holy Spirit who called him there." We don't know how it happened, but there was one day when he probably woke up with this urgency inside. I have to go to the temple. He was not a priest. He was not supposed to be there on a regular basis as a priest would. But he just felt, I need to be at the temple today. He probably couldn't explain it. But he was used to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's a lesson in itself for all of us. Are we used to hearing the Holy Spirit's voice? So he came to the temple. Now also in verse 27... we read, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law." Now, let's pause and let's just explain what that custom of the law is that they were supposed to follow. Let's just read a few scriptures from the Old Testament that will help us to see that picture that Simeon had, and that is a very important point, that Simeon had that picture, knowing the Old Testament.
Let's open to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and we'll read just the first two verses. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. This is the command. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." That's a simple command. Consecrate to me, they're mine. Why? Well, let's read a little more. In Exodus chapter 12, we find the answer to the question why. And let's remind ourselves that story. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 from Exodus 12, and then verses 12 and 13. So I want you to follow along with me. Please open your Bible. Exodus 12, verses 1 through 7. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." And now let's move a few verses down, verses 12 and 13. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Simeon knew that. He understood how salvation was supposed to be given. There was supposed to be a sacrifice. And he had that picture of that little lamb that was prepared every year and was killed every year because God protected his people that night when the Passover started. Now, let's read something that we've heard already today. The response of Simeon when he saw the parents and a little child was a prayer to God. And I want you to follow closely because we will have to make the connection between what he read, what he knew from the Old Testament, and what he sees now. Let's go back to our passage, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read his prayer from verse 29 again. "When he looked at this child, he turns to God and he says, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word.'" Next sentence. That's very important. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples." We can pause here. I'd like to do something that will help us to see the picture that Simeon must have seen. Can we put together the phrase of Simeon when he said, holding this child, "This is the salvation that you give us"? Can we put that picture together with that picture of the Passover? And let's reread the verses from Exodus. When I read that, I had to stop and I had to take a breath because I was just amazed at what I saw there. I want you to see the same thing. Because what happened in Simeon's mind was the lamb of the Passover, a little lamb, somehow connected to this little child that he saw. Let's read that and think, instead of a lamb, when we see that in Exodus, let's at least imagine or put the word baby Jesus. How it'll change the picture. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself,'" and you can think about a baby Jesus, "according to the house of his father," a baby Jesus, you can think, because that's the meaning of it, a lamb for a household. And we can read on. Verse 6, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." And then we read on, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." I cannot even describe the scene that must have been in Simeon's head. To connect this little, beautiful, innocent child with the lamb that was supposed to be killed. Can you even look at this picture without tears? The Simeon, an elderly person, looking at this little child, and he understands that this little, innocent child is supposed to die because of him. Just to save him, not an innocent older man. And that's why when he takes this little child in his hands, he says this is salvation. This little innocent child. Simeon didn't see Gethsemane. He probably died before it happened. Simeon didn't see the cross of Calvary. But he saw a perfect baby, a 40-day-old child, in whom he recognized the Lamb of God, just given to this dark, evil, sinful world. And that was the picture of the Messiah, the Savior, for Simeon. He had no idea how this child would die, but he knew for sure that's how salvation is provided. There's a little sentence in the book of the Desire of Ages that caught my eye when I read that. Page 55, paragraph 1. "The priest looked upon him," Jesus, "as he would upon any child. But though he neither saw nor felt anything unusual," and that's the sentence, "God's act in giving his son to the world was acknowledged." So that was the act of dedicating God's little beautiful child to you and me. It was an act of dedicating him not to a life of blessings, but to a life that will lead to death. That was the dedication for Jesus. And we had this beautiful prayer today, and we prayed for blessings. And those are provided because there was another little child dedicated to die, to give these blessings to Bobby and to all of us. Because in the Old Testament, Israel was called God's firstborn. So God's people who receive blessings are all the firstborn. It's just too overwhelming a picture to think about. It's even sad to say, but we are used to seeing the pictures of the cross. We see those so often.
And it shouldn't, but sometimes we get used to that. We look at the picture of Jesus on the cross, and it unfortunately not all the time touches us. But this picture, can you even be indifferent after seeing a little baby dedicated to die for you and me? And that was the meaning of this special dedication. And now when Simeon recognized that, he prayed, and then he turned to the child's parents, and he had to share this with them. At this point, we read there in Luke 2, the parents were amazed. I mean, they were astonished already, because there was something special happening here. This man, Simeon, who was not supposed to be here, somehow he takes the child after the priest. And so they were amazed already, but it's not the end of the story. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and read the rest of the story. Luke chapter 2 from verse 33 and on. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother. I'm imagining, of course, but just seeing that picture of the Passover and the meaning of it, it was not an easy thing for Simeon to say what he said to Mary. Let's read what he said. He said to his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." And let's skip and read a little further, "that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I skipped because there is parenthesis there in the text. So he mentions three things. He talks about the effects, the consequence of this child being dedicated to die. And there are three of those things. He says that some he will cause to fall. Some he will cause to rise. And this phrase, falling or rising of many, emphasizes that Jesus will bring division in the nation, as some will be judged, falling, and others blessed, rising, because of how they respond to this little child. That's first. The second thing he said, a sign which will be spoken against. So this is the sign that will be spoken against. A sign that generates opposition. And the third, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now let me ask you and me, all of us, these questions. Are you falling or rising as a result of seeing the salvation child? Are you for or in opposition to the sacrifice of this salvation child? What thoughts of your heart does this salvation child reveal? Do you accept the death of this salvation child as your only hope? In this context, I feel embarrassed that a little baby has to die for me. It's not right. But I can make my choice. I can hold on to my embarrassment and say, oh no, I cannot allow that to happen. No. And it'll cause me to fall and be in opposition to the child. Or I can humbly admit that I'm so hopeless. I'm so sinful. I'm in such a great need of salvation that there is no other hope for me unless this little child, this innocent child, will be killed in my place. Where do you find yourself? Are you ready to humble yourself and say, yes, Lord, it's embarrassing to see that happening, but I have no other hope unless this child's life is taken for me to live? That is the question that will decide whether it'll be for the blessing of you and me, or for the curse of you and me. Of course, today, I invite you to say, yes, Lord, I need the death of this child. I need it so badly, because I have no other hope. I'm a sinful person, and I want that salvation to take place in my life. And in this context, a very well-known verse from John 3:16 sounds slightly different. And I invite you today to accept this kind of love of the heavenly parent Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Mary was given a chance to experience that given heart of the Heavenly Father. Because the phrase that we skipped in verse 35, which Simeon mentioned to Mary, says, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul." The language is figurative, picturing great pain. Though it refers in part to the cross, it really includes the pain Jesus' ministry will cause. Mary was told, "You're going to experience pain because, in a way, you are giving your child." I cannot even imagine to be in her place. God experienced the same thing. He was given that child. Abraham experienced the same thing when he was told to give his son. God allowed some people to actually experience how he feels. And what a sword pierced God's heart. And probably with him, every being in the universe who saw this little child being given to a dark world. So today, when we see this beautiful picture, and of course, that's what Christmas is all about. We use that phrase quite often, and we put many different things, and there are different aspects, for sure. But this is the core meaning, why God had to give his little child for you and me. Today, I invite you simply to thank God for this gift. And let's do it together. Let's pray to God together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us so much. We cannot express, we cannot explain that kind of love. That even though you knew and you experienced that pain, just like Mary would, you decided to give an innocent child for us, for me. And I thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace that is revealed in this salvation child for each and every one of us. Lord, we accept this gift. No matter how bad we feel about this or how good we feel about this, Lord, we have no other hope. And we thank you, humbly thank you, for the salvation that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.